As I mentioned in my bulletin column, I would let you know if we had more information about the funeral services for Father March and Zahuta. If you came to St. Mary's within the past 10 years or so, Father Marchin was a parochial vicar here several years ago, and then, of course, later became the pastor at the St. Thomas More Center at the University of South Carolina. So even then, many of our young people would know him because of going through USC. He died suddenly from a stroke at the age of 42. So his funeral services will be on Thursday at 11 o'clock at St. Peter's in Columbia. And so in the meantime, we pray for the repose of his soul and for the consolation of his family and the many students and people whose lives he touched. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. When I was younger, I do remember two things in particular that my father mentioned to me. One was, why can't you just do what I ask? And the other was, why won't you listen? Now, I'm probably not unusual. I think all of us, hopefully, have heard that. If you haven't, please let me know after Mass. You're a saint, as we were growing up. But today we hear from God our Father these words. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. In the midst of our penance of Lent, we experience glory. At least since the 5th century, St. Ambrose talks about it writing in the 400s, we, on the second Sunday of Lent, have given a glimpse of Christ's glory through the Transfiguration on the Mount. Hopefully, at some point in your Catholic life, you have heard this gospel account, and you just heard it again. So what happened on top of that mountain? To think about it, you and I presently live behind a type of veil. That is, we can only see the visible realities that are around us. However, there are lots of invisible realities that surround us constantly. The chief among them is, of course, God, right? Angels, the souls of our loved ones. We should be thankful for that. It gives us a little consolation to know they're not very far away. Heaven should not be really thought of as up there and that other place is down there. But instead, it should be seen as more of a veil away, that our sight is veiled, but it's right there. On top of the mount, Jesus for a moment allows this veil to become thin. His humanity had been veiling, had been hiding his divinity. And now for a brief moment, he lets it shine. And you can see in the words of the gospel writers who write about it, they're trying to record it, Matthew and Mark and Luke. You can see all three of them struggling to explain what it looked like. Because human words always fall short. They always fail to describe the divine. St. Matthew said today that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as light. What does that mean exactly, right? St. Luke will say his face changed in appearance and his clothing became dazzling white. St. Mark gives a shot and says, his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Well, my first question was, what's a fuller, right? It's somebody who prepares wool, by the way, so you can take that home for you. You see, this kind of language that we have here is what we call apocalyptic literature, apocalyptic language, these parts of the Bible that talk about the final triumph of God. Now, when I mention the word apocalypse, you should not be thinking of planets exploding and things like that. The word apocalyptic comes from a Greek word that literally means to remove the veil. The word revelation means the same thing, revelation, to take away the veil. And you should be thinking in terms of a bride at her wedding. It's a joyful thing, the veil being taken back. So this transfiguration of Jesus was unmistakable proof of his divinity. Now in the transfiguration, Jesus also gets his big endorsements. We've just heard that word a lot lately, but Jesus gets endorsed by Moses and Elijah, who represent the law and the prophets. They sum up the entire Jewish experience in preparation for the true Messiah. So they're saying, in essence, he is the one that we've been talking about. This is him. This is he. This is the reason St. Peter is overwhelmed. He doesn't know what to say. The three tents that he mentions are an allusion back to when the Israelites were wandering in the desert for 40 years. One wonderful thing during that time was God's presence was with them, and they knew it. He was with them in a tent. It was called the Tent of Meeting, and it was at the very heart of the camp, wherever they were. And anytime Moses went to there and the Lord came to talk to him, they would see the cloud coming down, this glory right in their midst. Peter is grasping. He wants to make the moment last, like he heard about in Exodus, right? He wants the glory that he is looking at to stay. He doesn't want to come down from the mountain. But the glory that he witnessed was only given in order to give him strength to do the work that was yet ahead of him. He didn't want the suffering that Christ had just mentioned, three times, in fact. He didn't want to take up his cross and follow. He wanted to cling to this moment of glory. And so would we. We can't fault St. Peter. He's only doing and saying the things that we would. But he couldn't stay there. Neither can we. No matter how glorious a moment might be on this earth, it's not meant to stay. It's only meant to give us strength to keep going. Peter, James, and John were not allowed to experience the transfiguration just for themselves. They, along with the rest of the apostles and disciples, would have to go into the world after this, after the resurrection, proclaiming the good news. And thanks be to God they did. That's why you and I are here this morning. There's a key to understanding all of this in the first reading. God sends Abram out. He would later give him a new name, Abraham. He sends Abram out and says, go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house, that is, from the place where you're comfortable. Go forth to a land that I will show you. And then he says, all of the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you. All of the earth, not merely one people would find blessing, but all of the communities of the earth. And the blessing they would find would be God's blessing. It's not that Abraham has blessing on his own. They're going to see the blessing of God through Abraham. God formed the people of Israel beginning with Abraham, in order to show the whole world his glory. It was the vehicle. Through the prophet Isaiah, God would speak of the people of Israel as a servant, the servant through whom he would show his glory to the world. And he has. The people of Israel are known even today as the chosen people, and it's true. But every prophet would remind them that the glory they were supposed to show forth was not their own glory, and it was not meant just for them. And they weren't chosen because they were the best or the brightest, the most good-looking or nicest people on the earth. In fact, God even tells them he didn't choose them because of that. They were elected to be servants of God, a vehicle in order to show forth his glory to the rest of the world. They were chosen, the elect, yes. But remember this, election is never for the sake of the elect. Being chosen is never for the sake of the people who are chosen. It's for the sake of others. So as soon as Israel might say to the rest of the nations, we are superior because we are chosen by God, then they have thoroughly missed the entire point of their election. They have thoroughly missed it. The purpose is to be a channel for the glory and grace of God in order that the world would come to see and know the one true God. So likewise, Peter, James, and John were set apart on that mountain, not for themselves, but to take this glory of Jesus Christ, God and man, to others, which they did. And likewise, the church is called. The word church, remember, means called out of. The church is called and chosen in our day, not for herself, but to be salt and light for others. And likewise, you and me. We are here because we are chosen. We are not called for our glory, but for His. Called to proclaim God's glory and His light through our daily, faithful living as disciples. On our own, we have no glory. We have no light on our own. But if we have the humility to step out of the way and let His glory shine through us, then we fulfill our mission. And imagine how different this world could be. And it starts with us, as humble, faithful, and effective disciples, witnesses to others, witnesses to a world and a power that is just a veil away. You have His light. It's the purpose of the sacraments. You have God's glory within you. Step out of the way and let it shine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.